everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place.
So important, people of God, to get into the very presence of God. Nothing else matters now. In fact, I want you to find yourself right in the Holy of Holies. I see His presence. I'm in His presence. While I'm there thanking Him, I know that I have a right. Whatever I need, He will supply. I believe tonight somebody just wants Him to open up the windows of heaven for you. Let it rain. Send down your blessings, Lord. I just need You to move in this place tonight. I just need You to move in this place tonight. He's doing it right now.
Hallelujah. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Of heaven, let it rain. Let it rain. Help me, somebody, say it tonight.
Yeah.
feel the rain. I feel the rain. I feel the rain. Anybody feel the rain? Anybody in this place, you feel the rain?
I feel the rain.
Is there anybody in here, you feel the rain?
I feel the rain.
I feel the rain. Maybe you need to look at somebody and tell them, it's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. We bless you, God, for the rain. Hallelujah. We thank you. Your spirit is good, oh God. Hallelujah. We are grateful, oh God. We come before you with grateful hearts, saying thank you, oh God, because you are worthy, not because of what we request from you or what you've already done for us or what we think you're going to do for us, but just because you're God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you. Hallelujah. Our hearts cry, Abba. Hallelujah. We are fathered. We're not fatherless. We're not forsaken, but Lord, we have your name on us, Lord God, so we bless you on today. I thank you, hallelujah. Personally, I make this thing personal, and I say thank you, Father, hallelujah. It is a great joy to be able to call God our Father, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's one step where we know Jesus as our Savior, but Jesus the Savior introduces you to the Father, hallelujah. He says that He will give you the spirit of his son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Jesus, when he came, he spoke of my Father. Constantly, he said, my Father who sent me is greater. My Father who sent me, I do his will. The works that I do is from my Father. Hallelujah. But then he says, you shall pray to the Father in my name. So it is in the name of Jesus that the Father accepts us through the blood for the everlasting covenant that Jesus has shed for our atonement, that God accepts us. But as he accepts us, the word of God says in John 1 and 12, as many as received him, he gave power to become sons. There's a point of conversion where we become sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we just say thank you, God, for being our Father. You take care of us. You are watching out for us. You are looking over us. You are dealing with us. You chastise us. You correct us. You are such a good Father, and you provide for us. You care for us. You are Father. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the rain, Lord God. Hallelujah. The rain in various aspects. Hallelujah, Lord God. That you rain in our spirits, Lord God. Hallelujah, you the dew of your anointing. We can feel you, Lord God, not just and when we gather on the line, not just when we come together corporately, but we have a relationship with you, Lord God, that you can rain on us when there's nobody around but us and you. That when we step out into the world surrounded by those that do not know you, we're not tossed and driven. We're not faltering back and forth, but we yet stand and say, God is God. Jesus is the Christ. We yet and say, holiness is right, because you have reigned on the inside Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the rain. We thank you, Lord. You are a just God. You are a perfect God. You are a good God and a holy God. And you won't plant a seed without giving rain for it, Lord God. You won't let it wither in a dry place. But, Father, you are our living waters. Hallelujah. So we bless the name of Jesus on today, Lord God. Knowing you were going to speak to your people through this vessel, I yield and I ask even now, Holy Spirit, consecrate these very lips. Hallelujah. Bind up every signal that comes from the enemy. We command silence to it today. And that only the spirit of life will speak on today. No flesh, no human spirit, no demon spirit, but the spirit of the living God will speak on today. I'm your vessel. Use me, Father. Speak to these, your people. What needs to be heard? Oh, glory. I feel the anointing. What needs to be heard on today? Hallelujah. Lord, I decrease as you increase and you get the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Every need is met. Hallelujah. Every need is met. Somebody needs to know that. Every need is met. Not shall be met, not will be met. It's already met. This is why the Lord tells us, take no thought for tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Your needs are already supplied, beloved. You got to lay your worries at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, you got more bills than money, but you got more God than bills. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to put a praise on that right there. Hallelujah. I can hear somebody getting happy on that right there. Yeah, you got, they said it's cancer. Or they said something's wrong with your body, but you got a God that made that body. He said, I knit you in the womb. I formed you in the womb. So God's hand can deliver. I don't care what they say it is. I don't care what they claim they find in your blood or you know, growing inside of your body. The God that we serve, he's mighty. He just wants to see where our faith lies. Is it in him or is it in our circumstances? It's already done. Hallelujah. That's not the message on today. That's just a nugget. Somebody needed that. Hallelujah. You might feel like you don't need it right now. Maybe you ain't got a bad report yet. You might have to go back later on and say, yeah, I did need that. Hallelujah. So God's proactive. God's going to give you the word before you have a problem. That's how I can tell you your need is already met. The God we serve, the waters was there before he made a fish. Somebody catch that. Your need is already taken care of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, praise be to God. The word on today that I believe that I'm supposed to deliver. Hallelujah. The word today is hidden in Christ. Hallelujah. Hidden in Christ. We must be hidden in Christ. We live in a day and in a time where we must be hidden in Christ. I'm gonna slow down. I feel the fire of God, but I want to slow down. I want to teach today. And I don't want to be before you long because it's not about what you get from me. Let me tell you something. It's not what you get from me. It's what God says through an individual. I told you before, and I got to keep reiterating this because some people may not catch this, but a funnel can't do anything but channel from one source to another. So God pours through us. So whatever God knows you need to hear, whatever he wants to feed you, I got to be an open vessel. Hallelujah. I got to be an open vessel and willing to stay out of the way and allow him to pour in what he wants to pour out of himself through me to you. So it's not about the speaker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The speaker has to be connected to something that's speaking through it. You know, like in your vehicle, you got speakers in your vehicle that you hear your radio play, but you got to have that radio connected in order to hear what's coming through the channels. Okay, so all I'm in here to do is to give you what you need, but it's not from me, it's through me. So don't feel like you're getting something from a man. It's not about man. It's never been about any flesh. Only flesh that meant anything is Jesus became a man. But what did he do? He took that flesh and said, I lay my life down. He shows us that the flesh must be crucified, and it's a daily walk. It's something we got to attain to daily because the flesh wants to get in the way. But we bind it now in the name of Jesus, and we know that God's going to have the right of way. He wants to talk to us about being hidden in Christ. Watch this. Hidden in Christ. This is the time that we need to be hidden in Christ. Not just saying the time as in where we are prophetically on God's timetable. No, I mean right now is a time. Right now, today. Mark your calendar. Today is April 9th, 2017. Tomorrow will be April 10th. If the Lord tarries, tomorrow will be April 10th, 2017. That's the start of the time that God wants to hide us. What am I talking about? We're entering into a time now where some people, you know, we're looking towards the Easter and the things of the Easter festivities. But when you get into what God already established and confirms in his word, we're moving in the Passover. For those that study the word and study, your students of the word, then you understand we're moving into Passover, not Easter. Easter is what we call it on the English calendar, or, you know, the Americanized version. But when you want to understand God, everything he did in the Old Testament, everything he did under the law, everything was for revelation for now. Hallelujah. Because everything was fulfilled in Christ. So we got to be hidden where? In Christ. Watch this. He's a person. You can know him like that. There's no monopoly on God where you got to know him through a person. That's why I keep reiterating this thing here about you ain't getting nothing from me, but it's flowing through. We should be listening for the voice of our Father. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Hallelujah. So we know the voice of God, regardless of the vessel he's pouring it through. Watch this. God is wanting to speak about us being hidden. There's a reason for that. Passover is about God hiding us. Passover. There's different feasts in the Bible. You had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You had the Passover, which is pretty much the same thing, just a different name. You had the Pentecost. You had the Feast of Tabernacles. You had the Feast of the Trumpets. You have all these different feasts in the Bible that God commanded Israel to keep and observe for a reason. He had that for a reason, because those things were markers of some other things. Those things were prophetic markers to show you that, see, God speaks in a language called prophecy. Let me say this. God's language is prophecy. God's language is not Greek. It's not Hebrew. It's not English. His language is prophecy. His language is spirit. It's called the spirit of prophecy when God speaks. Hallelujah. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when God begins to speak, he speaks prophetically. The thing about prophecy is sometimes mysterious, but God says, I'll give you a way to understand that which is mysterious if you just lend me your ear. So what God wants to do in this time is hide us. He wants to hide us. Why? Because he knows coming. The Bible says that the righteous foresees, or the prudent man foresees danger and hides himself from it, but the simple pass on and are punished. There's punishment that we will be having to endure if we just pass on by instead of letting things pass over us. Understand something. God will hide you through the blood. See, we're in the blood covenant now. We've entered into a blood covenant. If you say Jesus is your Lord, you're a believer. Now, if you don't believe, then you're subject to everything outside of the blood. The Bible declares the life of the flesh is in the blood. So life is in the blood. So everything outside of the blood, you're out there in darkness and death. But God wants to give you life on today, beloved. Watch this. Listen real good. Hidden in Christ, to be hidden. What do you do with things that are valuable? When you know there are thieves roaming around trying to take it, you hide it. You bury a treasure. You understand what I'm saying? You put your money in the bank to keep. You don't just lay all your money out on the streets and say it'll be here tomorrow. Only a fool would do that. Take all your money, everything you own, and just lay it out in front of your house to see if it's there the next morning. It's going to be gone unless the Lord set an angel on your front porch. It's going to be gone, so as I'm standing here. Watch this. So we put our money in the bank because we want to protect it. We put stuff in a vault or in a safe place, a place of keeping. God is no different. He understands there's a thief roaming the earth. He's called the devil. The spirit of Satan is roaming the earth looking who he may devour. Some of us have got this theology all backwards and mixed up because we're listening to these preachers, but we have no experience. But we got this idea that the devil's not a factor. He is defeated. He is defeated, but he's not yet destroyed. He's got a job to do, and God knows what the devil's agenda is. God is the one that gives him permission to do what he do. He says he seeks whom he may devour. The question is, are you one that he may devour? Or are you not? That's between you and God. That depends on your prayer life. That depends on your understanding and knowledge of the truth and your embracing of it. Watch this, because he's going to come after you at some point or another. Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan have asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for you. Notice Jesus didn't say, I told him, no, he can't have you. He didn't say that. He said, no, I pray for you.
In other words, I gave him permission to sift you as we break you down to the lowest element to find out if there's anything in you like the devil that he can use as a catalyst to have all of you. That's what it really breaks down to. But God said, I pray for your faith. God told Peter, he said, I pray for your faith that it fail you not. In other words, faith can fail you. But if Jesus prayed for you, you're in a good place. Hallelujah. Watch this. So the point I'm making is this. That devil is given permission at times to break people all the way down. He's given that kind of permission sometimes by God himself. So he is a factor. And we need to understand where we need to be. That means there's a time to hide in Christ. It's not a time to try to show off. I put the devil under my feet. The Bible says, go to Romans chapter 16, verse 20. I'm not going to read it. I know what it says. But it says that the God of peace will shortly bruise Satan under your feet. In other words, it's God that put him under our feet. It's God that put the devil in his place. It's God. Solomon said, I've heard it twice. Or it was said once, but I heard it twice. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. So it's God that'll put the devil in his place. It's God. And God's in you, and there's a time where God will speak through you and tell the devil, get thee behind me or get under my feet. But I'm talking about we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do nothing in our own strength. We can't wrestle the devil in our own strength. You will be devoured. He's not going to fight fair. I know we got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he's more powerful than the devil, but how yielded are we to the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Watch this. There's a time to be hidden because sometimes God, death, which is the enemy of God, is also a servant of God. In Exodus 12, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to paraphrase it. You can study this. Write these scriptures down and go back and study these things in your own time. Exodus chapter 12, God begins to give the instructions for the feast of unleavened bread and the Passover. He gives it to Moses to give to the children of Israel. In that time, he tells them exactly what he wants to do. And he tells them why. And he says that the destroyer is going to come into the land and he's going to destroy the firstborn in every household that's not under the blood. So it didn't make no difference who you was, you Jew or Egyptian. If you was not under that blood and death was walking through, the destroyer was walking through, it was going to get you because there was a time to be hidden. He told them at that night, stay in the house. Put the blood over the doorpost and stay in the house. Don't come out of your house. Don't get out there trying to peep and see what's going on so you can YouTube video it. No, there's some things we don't need to even see. Some things that we don't need to talk about. Some things we don't need to bother. Some things we just need to stay hidden in Christ. Watch this. There's a reason the Lord is going to deliver this word the way he's going to deliver it. God wants his people to be hidden because he knows what's coming in the land. Now, God told them in Exodus chapter 12 to hide, to put the blood on the doorpost. Before that, he told them to eat unleavened bread. There's something to that, too. I'm going to get to that if the Lord allows. He told them to eat unleavened bread for a whole week. In other words, you got to be careful what you take in during that time because the devil will try to put the wrong thing in your spirit to flush you out of hiding, to get you out from under the blood. Do you get what is being said on today? Let me slow down. Hallelujah. To God be the praise. Take a praise break. Lord Jesus, I bless you. Hallelujah. These souls listening, Lord, are your precious souls, Lord God. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I bless you. You're a good God. You're a mighty God. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to our King. Hallelujah. You're so good. Your plan for our lives is good, Lord God. You never do anything to harm us, Lord God, in your perfect will. But, Lord, if we step out, then we're subject to some things. But, Father, I pray now that you would just hide us and comfort us and guide us in the right way in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, so God gave Israel instructions in that time. He gave them the instruction to eat unleavened bread. In other words, don't take in the wrong thing. In other words, the pure word of God is what you need right now in this hiding place. The pure word of God. That means you got to put some time in on your face. Hallelujah. You got to now open that Bible and let it read you. Yes, the Bible needs to read you. Hallelujah. That word is alive. The Bible says, Hebrews 4 and 12, says that the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature that is not naked in his sight. So that word is discerning your thoughts and intents. It's reading you. The word. It's not the letters on the page, but it's the spirit that's giving us the truth that's in this book. So when you get in there, the spirit is dealing with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch this. God saying now that we've got to eat the unleavened bread during the time of Passover. In other words, we're going to now be filling ourselves with him. We're now putting ourselves before him under his microscope. Search me, Lord. David said, search me, Lord. Search my heart. And if you find any wicked way. And then he says, search my heart and see if there be any evil in me. He says, then lead me in the way everlasting, the right way, the true way. Lead me in the right way from here on out forever. Because I know I need to be led. I can't get to the righteousness of God on my own. So search me. Find what's wrong. Deal with me. And then guide me. Watch this. Hidden in Christ. God wants us hidden. Back to Exodus chapter 12. I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time. These are things you got to go back and study. But God told them, he said, this day will be the first day of the year for you. And he told them at that point, that's when it started. And he told them, 7 days eat no leavened bread. That means no junk, no yeast, no swell. This is why we can't get all on the internet and be all in everybody's conferences and conference calls this next couple of days. We need to really lay out and talk to the Lord. We can't be all on the TV and eating all the spiritual junk food. There's a time where God will say, cut all that off and consecrate yourself before me. Die to your flesh. Lay yourself on the altar. Pick up that Bible. Talk to me. Fast and pray and cry out and wail and travail for the people. See what's going on. Know that the destroyer is rolling through the land. And cry out. That's what he's really saying. Hide yourself. Watch this. So he told them, eat the unleavened bread. Put the right thing in. Said, if you don't do it, anybody not doing it, I'm cutting them off. We know that was under the old covenant. We're not bound to the keeping of the feasts, but there's revelation in those things. We can't judge nobody if they don't keep the feast, but there's revelation in those things. There's a reason God did those things and why he'll reveal through them on today, in today's time for us now. So God gives us that. Then he gives us the Passover lamb, the blood that the lamb sheds is to be placed on the doorpost. He said, take hyssop and slap it on the doorpost. Put it over the doorpost and stay in the house. And he said, and when the destroyer comes into the land, I will not destroy you if I see the blood on the doorpost. In other words, God is saying, this destroying spirit, this death angel, as some call it, is coming through the land. But God said, I'm the one that's commissioning him. I'm sending him because there's judgment coming to a wicked people. What am I saying? God sent the judgment in Egypt to destroy the firstborn of all because of Pharaoh and the hardness of his heart and the way they did God's people. So judgment came into the land because of the evil. God's judgment came into the land because of the evil that was perpetuated through the people in high places. God did this. He sent the destroyer. So sometimes we can sit there and wrestle with the devil all you want, but when God sends him, the wrestling match is over. You're going to lose. The only hope for you is to be hidden in Christ. So he says, I'll give you a way out. Put the blood over the door. And don't come out that door. Understand the prophetic implications of what's being said today. So when God tells us and gives us instructions, it's to hide us, it's to protect us, it's to keep us, to be hidden in Christ. To be hidden in Christ. There's so much more, but I don't want to overdo this thing, so I'm gonna shift this a little bit. So I need to shift it. So God wants to hide his people. He wants to hide us from some things. He wants to protect us from some things. He wants to talk to us and deal with us about some things. See, in that hiding place, it's not a bad thing because God is there. Hallelujah. Watch this. Psalms chapter 91. I'm going to read this. Psalms chapter 91. When you're in trouble, you call 911. When you're in trouble, you call 911. So Psalms 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a good place to be, under his shadow. The devil's afraid of God's shadow. He ain't going to approach even God's shadow. So you're safe under the shadow of God. The devil's certainly not going to approach God himself. The shadow of God is too much for the enemy. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place, it's hidden. You got to dwell there. Dwelleth means to remain, to stay there. That means God is calling a people to a place of being hidden, hidden in him, hidden. We must be hidden in Christ. This means we're not of our own. We're not of our own selves. We've got to die to who we think we are. We've got to die to the way of the flesh, to the way of the world, to be hidden in Christ. Watch this. He says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. You know, people are building underground bunkers just in case we get a war breakout and nuclear weapons and all these different things. They're buying the underground shelters, war shelters, bomb shelters, and storm shelters because people are afraid. And the Bible says men's heart will fail them due to fear and all those things in the last days. But God is your fortress. He's your refuge. In other words, we should not even be worried about if we're going to die. If you're really living for God, death is nothing but a doorway in to his presence eternally. Hallelujah. That's easier said than done, but it's the truth anyhow. Hallelujah. And the Lord is dealing with his people. If you are prophetic in any manner and you're hearing God, he should be dealing with you to shake off the fear of death. Yeah, there's war and the threat of war and rumors of war and all these things going on in our world right now. So this is a timely message that he would give us this right now. But that ain't, you know, that ain't the reason that God will speak this. He's showing us the times. So everything happens in appointed times. Everything happens in appointed times. And God is still good. He's good. So I give you the word about hiding in him. Watch this. He says, I will say of the Lord, if you're that one that's dwelling in the secret place, you got to say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Fortress. That means the enemy can't get to you when you're in that fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I want to deal with this verse right here. The snare of the fowler. In other words, there are traps they set to trap birds on the ground. A bird is supposed to, he spends most of his time in the air, but his food is on the ground. Watch this now. I need you to listen really carefully because this is just coming to me. The birds spend their time in the air. They build their nests in the top of trees. They don't live on the ground like a rabbit or a mouse or, you know, a squirrel, something that a snake or some other predator could easily overtake. But people like to eat birds. We like chicken and turkey and duck and geese and all those different type of birds, okay? So, and in some places they eat quails and other type of birds, you know. Yeah, to each his own, but the birds are those that can escape most of the danger on the ground, right? So you and I, as the people of God, we're supposed to, certain things we shouldn't even fall for. Certain things shouldn't even apply to you and I as believers in Christ Jesus because we should be above. But then there's something called the snare of the fowler. The fowler means the one that hunts for the bird. In other words, he know that bird going to get hungry. That bird going to get thirsty. That bird going to want to put his feet on the ground at some point in time to come get what he needs. And that's where the devil is trapping folks that's in the body of Christ. That's why the Lord will start the message out with your needs are already met. Don't come down from the secret place trying to fix things in your own strength. Trying to fix things when he said don't even worry about tomorrow. Some things you can't do nothing about. Some trouble is going to happen in this world. Don't make no difference how hard we pray, how much we try to prophesy it away and speak against it and dance and jump and shout. Some things, because it's in the will of God and it's the word of God. Peter denied it. He said, I ain't going to deny you. He said, I'll die with you and go to prison. Jesus said, no, you won't. It was Jesus told him what it was going to be, but instead of lining up, he argues and said, but I'm not going to deny you. If I'll deny you, I won't. And then the rest of the believers said the same thing, but they all fled and forsook him because Jesus already had a conversation with the devil concerning Peter. That trouble was already on his way. It was already on its way, but Jesus said, I'll pray for you. The prayer already went forth too. The provision was already made. So sometimes the best thing we can do is just say, well, Lord, hide me. Hide me in you. Hallelujah. It's not a time to talk big in your own strength. We ain't got nothing. Hallelujah. The power belongs to God. We ain't got nothing in and of ourselves. whatever we have is a deposit that God was gracious and generous enough to allow us to have, that he may get the glory. But what happens is we start looking at ourselves. We start saying, I did this, and I know that, and I performed this, and I got this because I'm the one that, no, beloved. God is the one that we should be worshiping. Hallelujah. It's to him, it's because of God's mercies that we are not consumed. We, that's everybody in the body. We are not consumed. It's of his mercies. Hallelujah. We can all find something from me on down to the least one to the greatest one. We can all find something that God is not pleased with. Hallelujah. So it's of his mercies that we're not consumed. Back to this snare of the fowler, and I'm almost through with this message, believe it or not. The snare of the fowler. The enemy will trap you when you begin to take your eyes off of God in the secret place, when you flying too low, when you forget who you're really called to be. This is where God wants us to elevate our minds. Sometimes we are trying to deal with God from earth to heaven, and God is trying to deal with us from heaven to earth. What am I saying? Did not Jesus tell us when they said, teach us how to pray? He said, pray this: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we should be praying from a heavenly position to the earth. The Lord said something to me one day. We hear a lot about speaking into the atmosphere. That's all good and all, and there's some truth to that. But then when the Lord gives you a different revelation, then you got to flow with it. He said the atmosphere is too low. So speak over the atmosphere. In other words, if I sit you in a heavenly place, you got no business looking up to the sky. You're supposed to be speaking from where you are, praying from where you are, and then watching it manifest where your physical body is at. And that'll make sense to somebody later. Some of you catching it already. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch this. So, in that place, we've got to now faith it through. It don't matter what it looks like. Don't matter how hard it is. Don't matter what the enemy's trying to, threaten you with. It doesn't matter. What is God saying? He wants us to be hidden in Christ. He wants us to be hidden in Christ. Go with me in your word to the book of, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Hallelujah. Colossians 3 and 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, risen with him. Where's he at? Where's he at? He's at the right hand of the Father. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We should not be seeking the things below. He'd already promised to add those things if we seek the things where he's at. He's going to add. We don't, but what the devil does is he distracts us. And while we're distracted, trying to fix our life, trying to find our life, trying to make it happen, while we're distracted, that's where the fowler's snare is planted. That's where we end up in the snare of the devil, taken captive to do his will. But God says, I want to hide you. I want to hide you. I'm going to keep reading this now. If ye then be risen, that's an if. If. That word if is so powerful because it's all throughout the Bible. If, a whole lot of folks want to put stuff off on God where God says, I said if. It's an if on that. That's conditional. Hallelujah. Watch this. If ye be risen with Christ, here's how we're going to know. What are you seeking? Are you seeking? Give me more money. Help me with this. Give me that. I need this. I need that. Or are you seeking those things that are above where Christ sitteth? And some folks say you're too deep. You're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Well, this right here is telling us where our mind needs to be. Watch this. He says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So it appears we need to be a little bit more heavenly minded and a little less earthly good. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. A dead man don't fear death. A dead man don't fear death. I'm going to read that again. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. He didn't say as dead. He didn't say like dead. He said you dead. In other words, the you that you're trying to be don't exist. You got to get into that new person. any man be in Christ, he is now a new creature. Hallelujah. That life is hidden. Do you know the new you, the real you? He said, I'll give you a new name that nobody knows but you and God. Do you know your identity? Or are you still living in the dead, the walking dead? Watch this. He said, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So they'll look at you and say, well, you don't look like you got it all together. You ain't got this. You ain't that. Don't worry about it. They ain't supposed to see your life. It's in God. They'll find out when they set their affections on things above. Watch this now. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we ain't going to see the real life that we're supposed to have in the fullness of it until Christ appears. He said, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Who suffer with him, he says, they'll be glorified. Watch this. Watch this. I'm almost done here. Hidden in Christ. God wants to prepare a people because the times we live in are critical times. Let me say this. We've been in the end times. Certain things you're seeing happening, it has to happen. It's going to happen exactly like the word said. Not how we understand the word says it, but the way the Holy Spirit reveals the word. It's going to happen because it has to. And God is sovereign. It has to happen. Yet, God is still good. I don't care how bad the times get or appear to get, God is still good. So he's still going to do good for his people until the end. And after a while, it's going to get so bad down here and so much deception down here, he's going to say, come up hither. And that's why he's trying to get us hidden in him now, that your spirit will already be there. And the only thing left, your body got to. That's why they call it being caught up. Your body got it. Your mind and spirit ought to already be, oh, glory, be there with him to the point that all of a sudden, when that trumpet blow, your body says, I can't be here no more. And it's translated to a whole new, you take off the corruption and put on incorruptible. I know what I'm talking about. Watch this now. So, to be hidden in Christ. Isaiah chapter 26, couple more verses I want to read. Because the Lord will speak this to your spirit prophetically. He says, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself. There's that word, hide. He said, hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place. He says, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So there's a time where God is going to punish the inhabitants of the earth. There's a time where God is going to require the bloodshed of the earth. There's a time where judgment is sealed. There's a time where not only is it judgment, but indignation. That means the wrath of God begins to pour out. Let me say this. Somebody needs to understand this because some people don't understand these scriptures and they're trying to teach. Listen, there's different dispensations of the wrath of God or different demonstrations. There's different levels of the wrath of God. There's different ages of the wrath of God. We're in a time now where he's revealing his wrath, as Romans chapter 1 speaks. And God has been very gracious. He's been holding back some things for the sake of all people. He says he wished that none should perish. But there's a time where God is going to pour out his wrath in full measure upon sin. There's a time when the cup of iniquity is full to overflowing. And the Bible says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And in that time, we've got to be hidden in Christ. And we're heading in that direction. But I believe that God is going to revive some souls of some people as we lead up to that. Now, he says, come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Hide thyself. There's a time we've got to be hidden in Christ. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. We got to be humble, and we got to do us right. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. He keeps talking about God's anger. He keeps talking about the indignation of God and God rising to punish people whenever he's talking about being hidden. When you read Exodus 12, you see it was God's anger against Pharaoh in Egypt at that time. And he told his people how to stay safe. He told them, you know, to take the unleavened bread and don't even have leavened bread in your house. Just unleavened bread is all you're going to eat. The unadulterated, the pure, the truth, the right stuff, put it in your spirit. Then he says to take the Passover lamb and to cook it a certain way, and that everybody in the household got to partake of it. Then he said take the blood of that lamb and slap it on the doorposts. And he said, stay in the house on this night because death is walking through. I'm sending this to destroy. So it was God that sent destruction to the land. It was God that did it. But he told his people how to escape. It was the same God that sent the flood and told Noah how to build the boat. The same God. Hallelujah. I know we're in the time of grace. Jesus is Lord, and he shed his blood, and we think this thing is going to keep going on and on and on for generations after generations. Well, the covenant is everlasting for those who are in it, but there's a set time for the end. Jesus prophesied. Whenever you see Jesus as a prophet, you see Jesus as a miracle worker, you see Jesus as the Savior, but when you see Jesus operating as a prophet in the scriptures, just read it. What does he talk about? He talks about the end. So there's an appointed time of things. He says that I will give you the Holy Spirit, and he will tell you things to come. Things to come. So when he prophesies and operates as a prophet, he's not telling people about you're going to get a new donkey. You're going to get a new stall. You're going to get a new house. And you're going to get less on your taxes to pay. He didn't talk to them about the things of this world, but he tells them what's coming and how to prepare. In one place, he says, ye that are in Judea, flee to the mountains and don't look back. So he's always talking about hiding because he's a God that wants to protect his people. Watch this now. I am almost through here. I got one more scripture I got to read. One more scripture. And I believe that's in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse number 25. Just a moment here. John chapter 12, St. John chapter 12. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Do you understand what the Lord is saying there? He's saying if you hate your life in this world, in other words, you realize I ain't got no life here. I'm hidden in Christ. It's about him. Oh, glory be unto God. See, we're getting all this leavened bread nowadays where it's mixed with a whole bunch of swell. It's swelling up. And you think you're getting the word, it got the word in it, but it ain't all the word. That's like you eat that leavened bread. It rises. The yeast in it makes it rise, and it fattens you up, and it makes you feel like you got something. But at the end of the day, you just got a bunch of swell. But that unleavened bread is just pure bread. That's what God want to give you, the word in that secret place. Watch this, because then you're gonna know. You're going to know what he wants you to know. You're not going to be missing out on anything. You're not going to put all your chips on this life. But you understand that I gotta love eternal life more than this life. Because there's something that's never going to end. This right here got to end anyway. At some point or another. It could happen at any moment. So we're getting a lot of comfortable words, but it's not the comfort of the scriptures. The comfort of the scriptures is a little bit different than a lot of what we call comforting words. It's okay, you know, God, yes, God will bless you. Yes, God can give you certain things, but he already said, don't even put your mind on that. What is the kingdom mandate for your life? Is God called you to preach? Did God call you to lay hands on the sick? Did God call you to something and you're not doing it because you're not seeking him? You haven't heard him. You're waiting on somebody to tell you you're supposed to do it. I'll be the praise. Watch this. He said, he that love his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Watch this. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Where is Christ? He's at the right hand of God. He's in heaven. Where should we be? If we're following him, that means we got to get in the spirit. That means we got to lay aside our cares. I know it's easier said than done. It's hard to not care when you got kids and they talking about we're going to cut your lights off, or they talking about we're going to give you a pink slip, or they talking about you can't do this and you can't have that. All these different things that are coming against you in this world to get your attention off of God, but it's really setting you up for the snare, because God is saying, I got something greater for you. And if you trust me, I'm going to meet your needs. If you trust me and you do what I told you, I'm going to meet your needs. Hallelujah. Watch this. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. Are we serving God? If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. To God be the praise. God will honor you through serving Christ. Hallelujah. Father, I bless you and I praise you. I know you are hiding us, Lord God. I pray that this word will fall on to ears that are not deaf, and that the hearts will receive this word. And Father, you send the rain. Father, the rain is important when there's a seed in the ground, Lord God. We've asked for the rain, Lord God, and we've asked you to send the rain, open the floodgates and pour out the rain. But Father God, I thank you that you have given us a seed of your word, and it will remain. And Father, rain on that word. And Lord, position us, transition us, Lord God, hallelujah. There's some things we need to transition out of and into, hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's an answer for somebody. There's something you need to transition out of and something you need to transition into. There's a move, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, I bless you, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you're protecting us and you're teaching us how to abide in the secret place and how to hide under the blood of Jesus. And, Lord God, that our minds will remain kept, Lord, through the seasons that we're seeing come upon the earth, Lord God, that we will still keep our minds stayed on you. And, Father, even in the hard times, you are a God that will meet our needs. But it is all about the kingdom. You said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. Father, it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. If we're seeking the kingdom, you're pleased to give it to us. And everything we need comes with the kingdom. Father, give us a heart that says, I will seek your kingdom. Father, give us more of your love, that we will love sinners the way you love them, that we will love our brothers and sisters the way you want us to, that you will bring out all, you'll take out all the hypocrisy, and you'll cause us to love from our hearts. You'll cause us to speak the right thing, Lord God. He said, it's what come out of a man that defiles him. So let us speak the right things, Lord God. I pray right now for understanding and clarity, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will rest upon them that are listening, Lord God, and that you will destroy every yoke in our lives, and that you'll call us to have a sincere prayer life, that when we step out, we're stepping out in power. Hallelujah, Lord God, and that the world recognizes the power of Christ in us because we're hidden in Christ. Lord, these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many want the Lord to reign on you?
Rain on my fear. Rain on my fear. Holy Spirit. Is that what you want tonight? Holy Spirit. I asked him one morning at 4:30. I said, rain on my field. No one was around. Just me and Daddy God. I had something on my heart. I said, Holy Spirit. Melissa needs rain on my field. Come on, help me sing it. my heart is your field. And I confess to him, I said, but sometimes I've let the cares of this world because of this. I let my field get hardened. Prophet, it's an awesome time.